Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing hymn number 70, hymn 70 being Psalm 106. Give praise and thanks unto the Lord. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 30. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of all that is and was and shall be, we are glad to gather in your house and to praise you, for you are good, and your love endures forever. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessings of each new day, for the wonder and beauty of your creation, and for all that in this life gives us joy. Lord God, in Jesus Christ, you have made yourself known. We praise you for his life, death, and resurrection, and we rejoice in the knowledge that he is always with us through the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, Lord of space and time, we confess we take much of what we have for granted and are slow to express our gratitude. Puffed up with pride, we lose our sense of mystery in your presence and underestimate the extent of your grace. Despite the faith we profess, we are intolerant of others and quick to deny our mistakes. Gracious God, forgive us our sins. Put a clean heart and a right spirit within us, and grant us strength that we may amend our ways. Almighty God, bless us now and in the days to come, that we may truly be a thankful people, and a people whose joy it is to sing your praise and serve you, the one who reigns in glory, yet is pleased to dwell among the humble. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served in the sanctuary following the service. Please do wait behind for a further time of fellowship if you can. As some of you may be aware, Logie Kirk has not had an easy time of late, with a question mark hanging over the future of the church building. I'm very pleased to say that things are looking much more positive for the congregation, and there is every likelihood that the church building, a beautiful building in a tranquil setting, will remain open. Having been involved at Logie Kirk in recent months, I can testify to the commitment, enthusiasm and vision of the Kirk session and congregation, and I commend them all to your prayers. Logie Kirk's going to be open on a Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4 in July and August. If you're able to go along, please do say where you're from and show your support at this time. A reminder that Russell is taking part in Cycle 300 Miles Challenge this month to raise funds for Cancer Research UK. If you'd like to sponsor Russell, there's a sponsor forum in the vestibule. There are copies of Stirling Street Pastor's annual review in the main vestibule of the church. There's only a few of them, I'm sorry about that, but it's a very interesting document. It tells us that 10 new street pastors joined in the last year, which is great, and we're pleased that two of our own members, Helen and Christine, serve as street pastors. Stirling Street pastors are out on patrol in the city centre most weekends, not every weekend, but a lot of weekends throughout the year, and there are also afternoon patrols at Stirling University campus. The street pastors do wonderful work in Christ's name, helping the vulnerable, giving out hot drinks and bottles of water. Importantly, providing a listening ear and so much more. Alas, Stirling Street pastors' costs are greater than their income, so donations and support would be very welcome. Please do remember the street pastors and those they seek to help in your prayers. Tickets for the barbecue to be held in the manse garden on the afternoon of the 19th of July are available today and next Sunday, and there'll also be a picnic in the manse garden in September. More information about that in due course. And finally, Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall this coming Wednesday at 12 noon, and all will be welcome. I think that concludes the intimations. What do you say? I wonder how often that was said to us by our parents or guardians when we were young. What do you say? The response, of course, is thank you. It was drummed into us, wasn't it? And for good reason. So often, we can take what we have or what others give to us or do for us for granted. And therefore, it's good to be reminded of the need to say thank you. There's a story about a blind boy who sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held a sign in his hand. It said, "I'm blind. Please help." There were only a few coins in the hat, spare change from people who were hurrying past. But then a man appeared on the scene. He emptied his pockets and put a number of coins into the hat. And then he took the sign from the boy and he turned it round and he wrote some words on it. And then he put the sign back in the boy's hand so that everyone who walked past could see the words. Soon the hat began to fill up with coins. A lot more people were giving money to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign returned to see how things were going, and the boy recognized his footsteps, and he asked, "Were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth. I said what you said, but in a different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.' Both signs spoke the truth. But the first sign simply said the boy was blind, while the second sign conveyed to everyone walking by how grateful they should be that they can see." There's something there for us to think about, isn't there? When life is hard, it can be difficult to be grateful. And when all is well, we can forget to count our blessings and to say thank you to God. But that is what, as Christian people, we are called to do. In 1 Thessalonians we read, "Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks at all times. Amen." We sing hymn 180, "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart."
Today's reading is taken from 2 Kings chapter 5 at verses 1 to 14, and it can be found on page 309 of the Old Testament section of the Bible. That's 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken a captive, a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may be cured of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went to his horses, with his horses and chariots, and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something, some great thing, would you not have done it? But much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed." So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Second reading is taken from Luke chapter 17 at verses 11 to 19, and it can be found on page 68 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. That's Luke 17 at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Amen.
Thank you, Christine. I noticed Christine was reading there from her iPad. I'm very, very impressed. I tried it once with my sermon, but I was a wee bit nervous that the battery would either give up the ghost or I would flick too much and miss a page or two. Maybe that would have pleased you. But thanks to Christine for these readings. We sing the hymn 717, 717, O Christ the Healer, we have come. Some of you may know that our church officer, Ernie, took ill while he was on holiday in Rossie last week. He's presently in Inverclyde Royal Hospital in Greenock, where I visited him on Friday afternoon, and I'm very pleased to say that he's doing extremely well, and he hopes to be back home either tomorrow or Tuesday. But I know that you'll want to remember Ernie and indeed Jan in your prayers. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, healer and friend, we thank you for your presence with us at all times, and we are strengthened by the knowledge that nothing in this life or the life to come can separate us from you. As we pray for the world and for peace in place of conflict, we remember the leaders of the nations, and all who have the power to bring about healing and harmony. Guide them, O God, for the good of all people. Gracious God, we give thanks for your church in the world and in this land. Bless every congregation of the faithful, that we may show forth your healing power. At this time, we remember the Kirk Session and congregation of Logie Kirk. Continue to be with them in the present and bless their future as you have the past. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to look beyond ourselves and to be your hands, your feet, your voice in the world and in the communities where we live. Bless, we pray, Stirling Street pastors as they minister to those on our streets and at the university. Keep them safe. Equip and support them in the great work they do in your name. Gracious God, we pray for those in a difficult relationship or a relationship that is going through a time of testing. We pray for the lonely of all ages, for the sick in hospital, care home, hospice, or in their own home. And we pray for the sorrowing, remembering as we do the family and friends of Victoria Taylor, who has died aged 24, the family and friends of Tom Wilson, the family and friends of Catherine and John Binney, a wife and husband who died within days of each other. And we remember too the family and friends of Ron Wilson. Be to them, O God, and all in our thoughts, a means of healing, of comfort, of strength, and of peace. Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we give thanks for the communion of saints, for all who have walked this way before us, and for those whom we have known and loved. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them and all the faithful, and at the last, reunite us as the one people in your nearer presence. These things we humbly ask in your name and for your sake. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul, hymn 490. How good are you at asking for help when you need it? There's a question worth thinking about for a moment. How good are you at asking for help when you need it? While there are those who will ask for help when the need arises, there are others who will not, or who are hesitant, and there can be different reasons for that. One is they do not want to be a bother or a nuisance to someone else. Everyone is busy, such people think. People have enough to do without having to do something for me. And thus, such people keep quiet and struggle on as best they can. But sometimes there's another reason why people don't ask for help, and that is pride. Our pride can stop us asking for help because we fear it will make us look weak or incompetent. And while that is not the case, that sense of pride can be a very real stumbling block to getting the help that we at times need. Naaman, about whom we read earlier, was by all accounts a very proud man. He was highly favoured by King Aram because of his bravery and success on the field of battle. He was someone used to being in control. He gave orders, and the orders he gave were obeyed. But alas, there was a problem. He had a chronic illness, leprosy, a dreaded condition that affected his outward appearance and inwardly caused him to feel vulnerable in the presence of others, and that this proud man found hard to deal with. How often do we say, your health is everything? And it is, isn't it? Without it, we're sometimes not able to do all that we want to do. We are limited or restricted. And yet it amazes me that there are people out there who have health issues and yet can be a great inspiration to us. One thinks of Dodie Weir, who had that terrible illness, motor neuron disease. I was visiting someone else on Friday afternoon who has that illness. And I was thinking of Dodie and how he and others actively campaigned for an increased awareness of the illness and to find a cure. He is still an inspiration. And what of the Princess of Wales? She has coped with her illness with great dignity, and she has spoken about it in a way that has not only resonated with other cancer sufferers, but given them hope and reassurance as they receive treatment and adjust to life beyond that point. And then there's Sir Chris Hoy, a gentleman, if ever there was one. Instead of withdrawing from public life, he is focused on living and raising awareness about cancer. And there are so many other people that one could mention, people who are honest and upfront about the challenge of being unwell, and yet who endeavour to help others by their example. Naaman, a proud man, one who was thrown. That's a good word, isn't it? I wonder if that sums up any of us. Stubborn, intractable, strong-willed. That was Naaman. He hated being sick, for he saw it as a sign of weakness. And that was not a word he wanted people to associate with him. But to whom could he turn for help without losing face? Isn't it amazing how certain things can happen, and while we do not always realize it at the time, later when we look back, we can see they happened for a reason. In Naaman's household, there was a slave girl. We do not know her name, but she had been captured by Naaman during one of his military campaigns. She was the exact opposite of him. She was young, helpless, and with no control over her own life, let alone anyone else's. But remarkably, this slave girl felt for Naaman. And she told him and his wife about this prophet in Israel who could cure Naaman's leprosy. That was quite something, wasn't it? Here was a man who led one attack after another on her own people. And yet, far from finding some solace in knowing that he was suffering, she wanted to help him. Here is humanity at its best, and how much we need that in the world at this time. Isn't it true that the old, it serves you right, or you're getting your just reward for your actions, can lurk deep within us? But it was not so in this slave girl. She believed in God, and trusting in God, she did not dwell on her own circumstances, but rather sought to help a fellow human being in need. Isn't that what Jesus asks of you and of me? In his teaching, Jesus makes it clear that our calling to be kind, to love one another, is a calling to love all people. We are to love and be kind to those who so often seem unlovable, unapproachable, even our enemies. Someone once said, kindness is an intentional act. It is an act based on God's love for us and our desire to share that love with the world. Our love for others and our acts of kindness are not based on the other person who is receiving our love and kindness, but is instead motivated by the love of God in our own hearts. Being kind even to our enemies is no easy task. But God's gift of love and kindness is truly for the whole world. And that love we see in the slave girl. And mercifully, there was something about her that made Naaman pay heed to what she said. To cut a long story short, Naaman went to see the prophet Elijah from Samaria. But not wanting to appear at his mercy, because of his pride, he took with him a vast sum of money to pay for his cure. But alas, what happened was almost more than Naaman could take. Elijah would not see him. He stood him up. And instead, he issued an instruction. He gave, if you like, a prescription. In order to be cured, all Naaman had to do was swim in the River Jordan 7 times. Elijah's perceived lack of deference and respect for Naaman was not an easy pill to swallow. And his instruction was not one that Naaman found worthy of his standing. To swim in the River Jordan 7 times. Compared to other rivers, it wasn't the cleanest. In fact, it was very muddy. Naaman couldn't believe what he was being asked to do. But thankfully, some of his servants said to him, "Come on, swallow your pride. Do as Elijah has said." And he did. And we're told he was cured. It's quite a story, isn't it? The great warrior Naaman is humbled by his illness and made whole by his healing. But can I put it to you? He wasn't only healed on the outside. Within, in his heart, his soul, a great healing took place as well. If we had read further, we would have seen that Naaman came to believe in the slave girl's God, the God of Israel, the God he realized had healed him. And what is more, this once proud man wanted to express his gratitude to God. Here is evidence, if evidence was needed, that God's love is not confined to one people, but is for all people. And here we see how gratitude is integral to our faith. What do you say? What do you say? The call to be thankful runs through the scriptures, and that is evident in the passage we read from Luke, 10 lepers from Samaria, the same place the prophet Elijah came from. 10 were healed by Jesus, but only one showed. He was healed inwardly, the one who returned to give thanks to God. It has been said, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a Christian. It stands in sharp contrast to pride and helps strengthen the believer's trust in the Lord, who provides for us even in the toughest of times. God grant that we may have a thankful heart. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 352, 352. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Go in peace, and may God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore.